Hey everybody, welcome back to the Jaylen Brown. No, I'm just joking. The Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host Lucas with Chris. And Chris, have you settled in on Jaylen Brown being a Philadelphia 76er yet?
Not really. It still feels not real, but
Does it feel right yet? Does it feel right?
I don't know. How would you define right?
Does it feel good to you? Does it feel good to say Jaylen Brown is a top two player on my team? Arguably the best.
We can debate that at a further date. I'm ready to lean in at least. I'm ready to lean in. That's all I'll say.
All right. Well, speaking of leaning in, we're going to go ahead and break down the grading for every offseason move so far, right, Chris? Except for drafts. We've already done that.
Yeah, we're gonna grade every signing in the one big trade. We'll start there, Lucas. We've had a week or so, more than a week, almost 2 weeks, to kind of marinate on the Jaylen Brown news. What grade would you give that trade?
So, you know, we talked about a little bit how every player has their warts and stuff, but if you told me a month ago that you could flip Paul George for a Finals MVP, All-NBA player, without giving up more than two first-round picks, I wouldn't have believed you. So in that mind, I think you got to give this like an A+ here, man. I mean, I know Jaylen Brown's not your favorite player, but getting a guy of his caliber, whether advanced analytics likes him or not, he is a proven performer in the NBA, and he's going to make this team better.
Yeah, I can't really disagree. I think the grade I gave it at the time was a B.
Wow.
I gave the Celtics a C. Look, it's an amazing thing that happened. I still am in disbelief, as I just said. Jaylen Brown, at worst, no matter what numbers you want to pull out of your whatever, is a top 50 top 30 player in the NBA, is an all-NBA player last year, deservedly so. I wish we had kept the Clippers pick, of course, but it's Jaylen Brown.
Look, you think about it. Realistically, could we have gotten off of Paul George's deal without including that Clippers pick? Probably not.
I think you could have gotten off the deal without it. Could you have upgraded talent-wise? Probably not.
No.
The concerns are like fit related. I don't think he's as clean of a fit as Paul George, but
maybe not. But the talent is so much better. I get that there are some concerns about like, does he stop the ball? Does he do this? Does he do that? Look, I'm not worried about that because like I said before, I think that Tyrese Maxey is probably going to be willing to take a second fiddle to Jaylen Brown. Like, it's Tyrese's team. Like, personality, everything is Tyrese Maxey. But the majority of touches, the offense can flow through Jaylen Brown, and Tyrese Maxey's not going to bat an eye about that. Whether or not that's the most efficient way of doing it, debatable. I'm not going to debate that right now. What I am going to say that I think the fit is cleaner than we give it credit for, because I don't think Joel's going to want to do 25 and 8 a night. I think more realistically what Sixers fans should, him and the Sixers should want, is about 16 and 10. 16 and 12. I think Joel's going to be a bigger question mark here. I'm not worried about VJ. He's still young enough to where he's probably not trying to become the guy yet. And like I said, I think Tyrese plays egoless basketball. If he needs to be the second or third fiddle, I do not think that that's the issue here.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Tyrese at all. I think the two big factors are, A, what is the next contract like? If he signs that big Supermax extension next summer, I'll be a little worried about that, to be completely frank. We'll see how this season goes. I still think the optimal, perfect world version of the Sixers, the best guy to run your offense through is still Joel, whether or not that works.
I just don't think that you can do that. I don't disagree that it probably is the best way. However, with Joel's health, I don't think that that's a feasible way of doing it.
I think it's feasible when he's out there. It's just whether or not he'll be out there is the question.
So do you play two different styles of basketball, or do you make Joel fit within one style of basketball?
I think we did the two styles thing last year fairly successfully.
But it was painful, and I think we can both admit that.
My only real concern, and I think Jaylen Brown will make the non-Joel games. The Sixers are much better positioned to survive without Joel now that Jaylen Brown is here. I think that is the big win of this trade. Yeah. And value-wise, I 100% agree that it's a great thing.
So what grade?
Maybe in Maxi are just not guys who elevate their teammates. Mm-hmm. That's where I am a little bit worried about the fit, but I'm not super concerned. I'm not out on the trade or anything.
Well, look, and I also want to say VJ as a rookie shooting guard was averaging 4.5 assists a game last year.
Yeah.
So look, VJ might take another step as a playmaker too. And Brown averaged close to 6 assists last year. So that's not bad an eye at that.
Totally. I mean, VJ's the wild card here. We'll see what kind of leap he does or doesn't make.
He looked good for the Bahamas so far.
He does. I don't know how much relevance that has for NBA projection, but he does look very good for the Bahamas. Yeah. I will say a guy who would make me feel a whole lot better about how all this flows together is LeBron James.
We'll talk about that.
I'm going to stick with the B for now, Lucas, which is still a very positive grade. I just want to emphasize that.
Okay. Okay.
Let's move on to Dean Wade. 4 years, $39 million. The last year is only a partial guarantee. How are you feeling about Dean Wade?
The partial guarantee makes it a little bit better, but 4 years, $9 million. What is he, 28 now? So he'll be 32 by the time this contract's over. He's 28, right? Yeah, I think so. Give it a B plus.
All right.
I look, not my first option. Still, I said I would be happy about it, but B plus is not a bad thing. I just don't love. I thought we could have gotten him for a little bit cheaper. I think we overpaid a little bit. That being said, it's still not a grotesque overpay, but it could have been in the 700s, the 7 million.
Look, it's less than the mid level exception. I think the numbers are a little bit deceiving these days with how much the cap has spiked. $10 million a year now is what $5 million a year used to. 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it looks bigger than it is, honestly. I think Dean Wade is a really great fit for this roster. He does not need the ball on offense. He can hit a few threes. Yeah.
But do you want him as your full-time starter, though? That's my thing. He didn't even start full-time for Cleveland.
One of the best defensive wings in the NBA. Super versatile, can guard all over the place, can handle the hard assignments. They need a defender with this group. They need a guy who doesn't need the ball.
Who can also shoot the threes.
Yeah, I think he can survive more with this team than he might elsewhere, at least when Joel is playing, because they have so much talent around him offensively. So I gave it an A, I think, at the time. I'm willing to stick with that. I think it was a great fit, great value.
Mm-hmm.
4 years is what it is. Again, it's a partial guarantee in the fourth year, and I don't think it's that big of a gamble financially. Yeah. All right, Lucas. Anthony Simons, 2 years, $12.3 million.
Look, this guy was averaging 24 points, 2 years ago? This is an A+. This is an A+. Is it a little repetitive because you already have Filon Shore, but you don't know what Filon can do as a rookie. You don't have to throw Filon into the deep end now. Anthony Simons could start for you in a pinch if you need him to. Does he have his warts? Yes, he's not a good defender, not a great playmaker. But look, if you just need buckets off the bench, which the Sixers struggled with last year, Anthony Simons is your dude. Simple as that. I mean, look, the guy's a walking bucket. One of the best three-point shooters coming off the bench last year. I think he was fifth in the NBA in terms of three-pointers made coming off the bench. Fifth or sixth, something like that. And look, the guy's a walking bucket, if nothing else. And the fact that he came here pretty much the same day of it was right after we recorded the podcast. It was the day after. Yeah. Look, if this is an A+, I'd be shocked if you don't give it at least an A-.
I'm trying to remember what I gave it. These are all written somewhere on fansided.com.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure I gave it a C+.
C+? Christopher Klein, explain yourself.
He's a very good player. Do I worry that the Sixers have a lot of cooks in the kitchen at the moment? A little bit. I don't think he really... They needed bench scoring. That's absolutely true. He's going to help. C+, worth reiterating, wow, is a passing grade.
Wow.
C's get degrees, as they say.
I mean, that's true, but like, still, dude.
I mean, he's a great shooter, a great perimeter scorer, and not much else. I think I really would prefer to give Filon a bit more of a runway, honestly. I think that's part of it. It's a good value. It's a fine contract. I just like with Maxey already in the backcourt, you already have some defensive concerns with this team, especially with Joel kind of on the decline there. I don't know if this is the greatest fit. Like, I would have preferred a guard who's a bit better at again, elevating the guys around them. That's not really They have a lot of bucket getters who struggle to do the other things at the moment. It's going to be more of that with Simons, and he will help. He's a good player. He's going to be really fun to watch. I'm excited, but I don't think this is like a home run, slam dunk, super duper needle moving, awesome signing or anything.
Wow. Okay. All right. So like, I get where you're coming from. I would prefer some more defense, but look, if you can get a guy who averaged 24 points just two seasons ago on a partial biannual exception, because that's what this is, like the remainder of that biannual exception, because you used part of it for Hakuto, who we're going to talk about next. Like, dude.
Well, you have to, like, think about why he doesn't have that role anymore. You know what I mean? There's a reason.
I get it. But for $3 million a year, Chris, $3 million a year for a guy that can get you 20 points on any given night. Like, come on now.
Thing is, the Sixers have enough guys who can get you 20 points on every night. This is my main point here. They didn't really need that kind of guy. But
I get that you don't need him, but if he's willing to take that type of contract?
Sure. It's fine. It's a good signing. I'm just not I don't think this is like the greatest thing ever. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, agree.
I think the fact that him and Jalen got along so well and like each other and know how to play off of each other is a good thing. That's a plus. Yeah. I'm not like here to knock the signing or anything. I just feel like it's a bit redundant, but they did need the shooting and in the scoring off the bench. So I'm not gonna sit here and like criticize the move or anything. All right, Lucas. Mm-hmm. Ariel Hukporti, the Andre Drummond replacement, signed just above the league minimum, 1 year, $3.4 million. How you feeling?
I kind of hate this one, if I'm being honest. I kind of hate this one. Let's be clear, he is an upgrade over Bona in my head. I do agree that he's bigger, a little bit better hands, not vastly better, but better hands. Still has the fouling problem. Trying not to be too terribly mean, but I'm going to give this a D. This is bad. This is pretty bad. It's not like a complete utter failure, but it's bad, Chris. Look, I mean, the guy, I get it. He if he was our third center, love this. He's not. I just don't like the center room. I still want to get another guy. We talked about this last time. We said Kelly Olynyk. Maybe that's an option. Maybe another guy's an option. I don't know. But what I do know is that the center backup center room, and we'll talk about Jahni Broome's summer league second season, which, you know, probably has no major bearings here, but I just don't like the center room and adding like another young, inexperienced guy. You got three inexperienced centers, you know, young and, you know, with limited experience centers backing up Joel. That's not like that's the one knock on Philly that you can have is that you don't have center depth. You don't. So I'm going to give this a D. Like, not reliable, not proven center depth. Now, maybe Hawk Perta comes in here and proves us wrong. I've heard that he's a fan favorite in New York, and that's cool. but I need you to not foul, what was it, almost 5 fouls a game per 36. Like, that, I don't need that in my life. I don't. So, yeah, I got to give this a D.
Yeah, I think I gave it a C at the time. I don't disagree with anything you said. I don't think the center room is very encouraging behind Joel right now. I still think Bona is the second center on this team. I think
maybe he is, but that makes it even worse, Chris.
I do think Bona has better hands than Hokpordy. I think you're maybe overstating that a little bit. I think Bona is still good at all the like lob catching stuff. He's pretty coordinated. Hokpordy is a good rebounder, which will help. I think as like a value swap, you're paying him like $500,000 less than the veteran minimum would have been for Drummond. That's not a like horrendous thing.
This is still a downgrade in talent.
I trust Drummond more to like play 30 minutes in a game where Joel is hurt, which I think obviously has value on this team.
Mm-hmm.
40's probably better in like a 15 minute per game backup role. Brings more energy, can still get better. But like you said, he has a lot of the same issues that we've run up against with Bona. He's going to foul a lot. He's not really he's kind of a run jump guy. He plays with a lot of force, a lot of athleticism, but he's not the most skilled player.
Mm-hmm.
I have very real concerns about what the backup center depth chart is. I think Barlow being able to play that role like he did in the playoffs would be extremely helpful. Maybe honestly, he's our like primary backup right now. I feel better about that, honestly. We'll see what happens with Broom. I'm not like going to completely.
I will say this: if Barlow is going to be our backup, primary backup center, if that happens, not reporting anything, he needs to add a little bit more muscle.
Yeah, sure, but I think Barlow being able to do that in theory makes it a little bit easier to stomach this. I like that nurse broken out in the playoffs. We didn't see it a ton in the regular season, so we'll have to see if he actually goes back to it. But yeah, I thought this was kind of a bland, not really an upgrade.
I was hating free agency before the Brown trade because this move made me, I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I like the Simons move well enough. I thought the Dean Wade move was awesome. I'm not super excited about this. Not that there were like a ton of great backup center options out there for $3 million, but you know, it is what it is.
Look, the Valanciunas, like I was going to wait on this, but I'm just like, you know, if we could, we won't, but if we could, Valanciunas would be so much better than anybody that we have.
I don't know. Valanciunas, you're just not going to be able to play him defensively in any sort of important minutes. Like, it's kind of like the Vucevic thing in Boston last year, only I think significantly worse.
If only we had
been able to sign Vooch, I would have been down with that. But he
look, Vooch on the minimum, I would have been down for.
Yeah, he wanted Vooch to go back to Orlando. That's fine.
Yeah, I get that. That's fine.
I would have paid him more than the minimum. But
yeah, look, if you can get him on the biannual, I think I would have done that too.
I think this is a product of Philly just not having a lot of cap flexibility around that very expensive core trio that they have. They didn't have a lot of options here. So, you know.
Well, look, the
would have been fine, but I don't think anyone would have been excited about that. I think most of us were ready to move on.
Yeah, we were. Is
Hokpordy better for what the Sixers need? In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. If Joel is healthy, this is a non-issue.
Yeah.
But
let's be real. Never happened.
So, that, you know, we'll see how it goes. Again, we get LeBron, I feel considerably better about almost everything we've talked about. But
that's a whole different thing. Honestly, this Hop Herta trade is my least favorite, and that includes the two-way guys that we signed.
Yeah, so let's talk about the two-way guys, Lucas. They signed former Blazers and Grizzlies wing Ryan Rupert, French guy, 6'7", long wingspan, put up a triple-double last year. In one of his games, kind of a point forward guy in theory, hasn't really done much in the NBA to date, except for in like garbage time, non-competitive games. But How are you feeling about it?
Look, I mean, the guy, like, is... Look, on a two-way contract, it's a solid, like, B plus, A minus. Like, it's solid. Look, you're not gonna get, like, if you can get a guy who's already played in games and produced, granted, on a tanking team, but still produced decent numbers on a tanking team, like, you take that. And that's what Memphis was last year. So, like, look, come on down, Rupert. I don't know if there's a French enunciation. Rupert, yeah. Come on down. Two-way. Look, I think more guys are going to be, like, young guys who are trying to get their second contract are going to come to the Sixers on two-ways because we did it with Walker and Barlow last year. Like, look, if you want to get an NBA contract and you're a guy who, you know, was drafted, I forget where he was drafted. I know he was drafted. I'm pretty sure, right? Rupert was drafted. Yeah. Look, and same, Caleb Love wasn't drafted, right? But anyway, yeah, look, he's a 6'7 wing. Potential's there. He's only what, like 22, 23?
He is 22.
Yeah, 22. And, you know, averaged with the Memphis Grizzlies last year, 12 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.6 steals. Granted, only in 16 games, but that's pretty solid. I mean, 33% shooting is not great, but it's not terrible. 42% from the field, not great, but not terrible, right? So, look, the guy has some potential here. So, like, I'm all for it. And I guess I don't know, what else did you want to add about it?
I generally feel the same way. I'll give it a B. I think it's a totally fine swing. I don't expect much from this. I think he's more of a theoretical guy than a guy who's actually ready to, at least to date. I think it's been more of a theoretical 6'7 guy who can defend and play make, and he's really not much of a scorer right now. The shooting is not great. The defense is not what you would expect just looking at him, mm-hmm. but he's 22. He's got some natural talent there, so I'm fine with the swing. Let's finish up the grades, Lucas, with the other former Blazer that they signed to a two-way deal, Caleb Love, former North Carolina point guard, Arizona point guard. How are you feeling about Caleb Love?
Well, look, he's an older guy. He's 24 years old, 24. He'll be 25 next season. Averaged in one season with the Trailblazers, averaged 10 points and 2.5 assists. Not the best shooter. And I'm trying to look up his defensive stats right now. Give me a second here. His defensive rating last season was not great. So, look, I mean, maybe, you know, you go with the college success and hopefully that translates. But it's still not bad. I mean, look, you're taking a swing on a guy who played 49 games last year for a Blazers team who was actually and started some games. I mean, he started, he only started one game. But look, he averaged 20 minutes a game during that span. So, like, it wasn't like he was barely playing. So I think I'm going to give this one, like, a C-. I'll give it a C-.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give it an A. I think this is good.
Did I say C minus? I meant B minus. Sorry. Can you fix that to B minus? Yeah.
Sure you did. Yeah. Like I think Caleb Love is in a very similar bucket to, Simons. He's a very, very, ambitious scorer and is not going to do a ton else, but he was very important for Portland. When they went through all those injuries last year, stepped up, played some real big minutes. And, you know, help them win some games. I think the, like, 31% three-point shooting is a little misleading. He took a lot of them. He took a lot of very difficult shots. I think he's a very good three-point shooter. Whether he can finish consistently inside the arc and make guys better around him or defend, that's all fair game to question. But I think he's, like, a legit borderline rotation-level guard. And if he's your... Mm-hmm. fourth point guard behind Maxey, Simons, and Vilon, with Edgecombe also, Brown, guys who can handle and create. You know, that's like real guard depth, which we just didn't have last year. He's like,
look, the NBA is all about guard depth now.
He's a two-way guy that you know can play. So yeah. I think that's good business. I was very happy with that move. He's a competitive player. He was fun to watch in college, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas. Yes. Let's go to the big unsigned free agent.
Oof.
LeBron James is reportedly down, according to Shams Charania, to five potential destinations. The Philadelphia 76ers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Golden State Warriors, the Miami Heat, and of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Denver appears to have been knocked off the list. They were in the running there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've already written and ranked my five. We're going to rank these based on who needs them the most. Which team does LeBron benefit and elevate the most is the criteria by which we are ranking these teams. And then we can talk a little bit more at the end about the Sixers specifically. All right?
Yeah.
I'll let you start. We're going to start at five and work our way down to one. We'll alternate.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have at five?
So at five, I'm going to go with a former team of his. I'm going to say Miami. Miami has basically a younger version of LeBron and Giannis. You know, Giannis rebounds, play makes, attacks the rim. LeBron's a better shooter, but like LeBron's not known as a shooter. Granted, he can shoot the ball now versus when he was younger. But like the redundancy of skills between him and Giannis just seems a little bit too much. And like, yeah, he makes them better, but like, do they really need him? Probably not. Like what they need is 3-point shooting, like excessive 3-point shooting.
That's fair. Yeah. And to their credit, they've added several shooters already. I want to like again make a declarative statement that like all these teams should want LeBron. He makes all of them better.
Yeah, they do.
He's gonna sign for the minimum or like on an exception, which is like going to be amazing value no matter where he ends up. I have Cleveland at five.
That's fair. I almost put Cleveland at five. Yeah.
I am a little bit worried about how LeBron, Donovan Mitchell, and James Harden will defend.
Right. Right.
That seems like a weird fit. If I was to pick two guards to play next to LeBron, I probably wouldn't pick Donovan Mitchell and James Harden.
I would put Donovan, but not James. Him and James are too redundant.
Donovan does a lot with the ball in his hands. James has gotten better about being like a spot up guy and more of a secondary guy, but he still doesn't really move without the ball. He's kind of a stationary player, which isn't really what you want next to LeBron. So I don't really love the fit in Cleveland. They aren't going to have great spacing necessarily either. I think Mobley and Allen can clean up a lot on defense, which helps. And it's Cleveland. It's his hometown team. It makes a lot of sense from like a narrative standpoint. They were just in the conference finals. LeBron obviously helps. I understand all that. All these are good teams, good fits, whatever. I have the most concerns about Cleveland, though. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put them at five. Who's your number four here, Lucas?
Is it Cleveland? It's Cleveland. Yeah, that's Cleveland. Everything that you just said, Cleveland. The fit's not great. I still think Cleveland, if they want to take the next step, need to get rid of Allen and move Mobley to the five. I think that's really what you need to do, but they won't. But that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully am on board with that, but I don't feel great about Cleveland. I think it's kind of a boring way to go out personally, but whatever. I'm going to put Golden State at four just because they're too old. I love the idea of LeBron and Steph together. We all want to see it. You know, Jimmy can still come back later this year. Draymond, there's a lot of talent there. Porzingis. No one's going to question the overall talent, but like we just saw that team flame out. Didn't even make the playoffs. They're old. And LeBron is not going to make them any younger or any more durable. I just don't know if that team is built to handle the West as it's currently set up. I would not pick that team against San Antonio or OKC under really any circumstance. So I think that's the worst team, point blank, that he could go to. The lowest odds of winning a title.
Yeah.
Nothing's impossible. It's LeBron and it's Steph. But I really don't think that's gonna go as well as maybe we would want it to. To be completely honest. All right, yeah. Lucas, here's your number three.
For over 70 years, Sports Illustrated has set the standard for sports storytelling. Now's your chance to be part of it. Subscribe to the magazine today at si.com/SIPodOffer and experience the game like never before.
Actually, Golden State. I do think they need him on the level of making sure Steph is happy at the end of his career and competitive. Now, are they going to win the West? No. Let's be clear. Even if Jimmy comes back, LeBron and Jimmy and everybody plays as many games as healthy as they can, they're still not beating OKC. They're still not beating the Spurs. They're not big enough. Though, if you want to play like this, you know, if he goes there, it'd be like, you know, almost like when Gary Payton and Karl Malone went to the Lakers, because it almost feels like, you know, like a, you know, old, super old team instead of a super team. It's just a super old team. But like, look, it's still interesting.
Yeah, some Dwight Howard, Steve Nash, Laker vibes too, maybe.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think it's a better fit than especially like the Nash Howard Lakers. Like,
well, it was just, it wasn't the fit of the players, is the fit of the coach with the players. Yeah. That was the problem.
Look, yeah. If LeBron wants to be like happy from a pure basketball perspective and play like an aesthetically pleasing brand of basketball, I understand it. I think every NBA fan would love to see him play with Steph for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like a bad outcome, but I just don't think he's going to move the needle for Golden State.
Yeah.
As in the same way he would for some of these other teams.
That's fair.
My number three is Miami.
Yeah, fair.
I understand all the concerns that you have. I will say that one of my main issues with the Heat, as they're currently constructed, is they don't really have someone in the backcourt right now who I trust to consistently create offense and make life easier on Giannis and Bam. I think LeBron would honestly be a very, very helpful engine for this Miami offense, or co-engine next to Giannis. I think those two can play together. I'm not super concerned. The spacing is not ideal, but they have signed a whole bunch of shooters. They have Hardaway, Fontecchio. They drafted Ryan Conwell. I think they'll find the shooters. Defensively, I think Miami is right up there with Minnesota as like the best team he could go to. They have guys who can guard. They have Bam and Giannis to clean up things on the backside. And they have Davion Mitchell and Andrew Wiggins on the perimeter. So I think that's a very good defensive ecosystem for an older LeBron who can't really try his hardest on that side of the floor for 82 games.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it is Giannis and Bam, which gives you a pretty high floor if everyone's healthy.
Yeah.
So I think Miami is not a bad fit. There is obviously a narrative element there, too. I've seen a lot of, you know, Windhorst and other people talking about maybe wanting to make things right, finish on a better note there. Seems like that is very much in play. So
mm-hmm.
I would understand Miami. I can see the vision there, at least.
Yeah.
Who is your number two here, Lucas?
So I've been going back and forth on this because, like, Philly and Minnesota, they need LeBron for different reasons. But I think Minnesota really needs LeBron for just one reason, and that's the scoring. They need a secondary scorer or a third scorer, because I don't trust LaMelo. LaMelo and Ant can be a primary initiator of your offense. You don't need LeBron to do that. Now, granted, you could say, oh, well, we can't trust LaMelo's health. Well, same thing could be said about LeBron at this point. Also, that's why you have Ayo Dosunmu, either coming off the bench or starting. I think you'd probably want him coming off the bench, if I'm being completely honest with you. So, he does give them some more size at the four. Because you probably prefer not to, you know, waste McDaniels at the four if you can help it. Keeping him at the three probably, you know, helps preserve him, you know, a little bit instead of having to bang with fours all the time. The thing is, like, does LeBron want to be the second or third scorer at, you know, age 42 in his career? Probably not. Probably not. I suspect that LeBron's going to scale it back significantly this upcoming season, regardless of who he plays with, or at least would ideally want to, so that he can preserve his body for the playoffs. So I'm going to put Minnesota too.
I am going to do the same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I think generally, like, we make too big of a deal about, like, quote unquote veteran leadership and needing guys who have been there before and whatever. But
yeah,
I do think LeBron would be a helpful presence in particular locker room.
That's fair.
I think the Hornets, to their credit, played a very fun and cohesive and successful brand of basketball last year. Mm-hmm. I don't have maybe the same questions that you do about LaMelo's ability to lead a winning team. I think the Wolves are going to be very good on defense still with McDaniels and Gobert there. I think Ant and LaMelo really complement each other and are on the same timeline. I think the vibes will be very good.
Mm.
They do have a very glaring open spot at the power forward position. They really have no one to go there right now. So
unless LeBron, you slide McDaniels down, yeah.
Yeah, so LeBron would be a very clear positional fit. I think his just intelligence and leadership qualities would be helpful there. I think he can scale down and be more of a connector next to LaMelo and Ant. I'd be very interested in watching the LeBron, LaMelo, Anthony Edwards dynamic for a year or two. That's a very kind of a funny...
If he didn't have gray hair now, he'd definitely have gray hair afterwards.
LeBron and LaMelo on the same team is hilarious to me, frankly, but I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah.
So we both have the same number one, Lucas, which
is
Philly, which is totally not biased on our parts.
No, it's not. I truly do believe he's the best fit here.
So explain why.
So basically, look, you have all these guys that need to be fed. One thing that LeBron will never phase out of is his ability to play make. LeBron, I truly believe at age 40, he'll be 42 next season, this upcoming season. Does not want to have to average 20 points a game. The Sixers could use his rebounding and his playmaking and the veteran leadership to guide all these guys, okay? Brown can still be fed. Tyrese can still be fed. Embiid can still be fed. VJ can still be fed. LeBron could theoretically, you know, average a double-double this upcoming season, averaging like, say, I don't know, like 18 points, 10 assists a game, theoretically, with the Sixers. Or probably even less points, but I'm trying to be generous here. So, like, realistically, they don't need him to score. They do not need LeBron to score here. They just need the playmaking. They need the playmaking. They need the rebounding. Now, obviously, the defense would hurt a little bit, but you give that up for LeBron. You deal with that with LeBron. And like I said, if you can get Joel, and I think LeBron is one of the few guys that could probably get Joel to buy into being the defensive anchor, not worry, look for your shot. You're going to get your money, okay? You're going to get your fed. You're just not going to get it fed as much. We need you to, Joel, rebound, play defense. LeBron James has the cachet to get through to Joel on that. I don't know if a lot of people do, but I believe LeBron does, talking about veteran leadership. And look, Maxey, like I said earlier, Maxey's willing to take the second fiddle. Brown can still be the leading scorer on this team, even with LeBron. LeBron will set him up for easy basket after easy basket. And plus, talked about LaMelo on the fast break with LeBron. What about VJ on the fast break with LeBron? Just saying. So,
yeah,
that's the reason. I think the play, and they're like, oh, there's too many mouths to feed. No. LeBron's not going to have an ego on this. He's going to, as long as he's allowed to have the ball in his hands and play make, I don't think he's going to be looking for a shot as much as people think he is at age 42.
Yeah, I agree. I think if LeBron is taking the minimum to come play in Philly, he knows what he's signing up for. I agree. Look, if you swap out Dean Wade for LeBron, I have a lot of concerns about Philly's ability to stop their opponents.
That's fair. That's fair. That's
something we have to worry about. But it is by far the most dynamic offensive roster in the NBA on day one. I think LeBron can help feed everyone. I don't think he needs to be fed, like you said. what does Philly always lack? It's they just never have great passers on this team, with the exception of James and to a lesser extent Ben. So LeBron's ability to process and set guys up and find them in their spots would be so, so helpful to making all of this work. Mm-hmm. Jalen and Maxey has always been better off the ball. Mm-hmm. Jalen is a guy who probably needs to scale down his usage to be a more impactful player. Yeah. LeBron can help with all that. He can help put VJ in good spots. He can help take the load off of Joel. All that stuff is true. And vice versa, they can all help LeBron not need to do everything, obviously. So
yeah,
I think it's a really, it's a lot of mouths to feed still. Mm-hmm. It is five guys who can and do want the ball to some extent, but if they all buy in, I think it can be a very cohesive and successful dynamic. So
look, I ideally on this team, if LeBron comes, this is the pecking order. Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey. It doesn't matter 1A, 1B, whatever you want to put that. I don't care. Tyrese will probably be 1B just because he doesn't care about scoring as much, right? Okay. You got those two. Third option, VJ. Fourth option, Joel. Fifth option, LeBron. Like I said before, if Joel, if we can get Joel to buy into being a defensive anchor and not worry about the offense, because he's proven that he's been one of the best offensive players. We don't need that from him on this team. We need him to be a defensive anchor at this point.
Well, I think that's a little disingenuous. He has also proven to be an amazing defensive anchor.
He has over the last couple seasons.
I think he's much less capable of being a defensive stalwart like he used to than he is of being a superstar offensively. I think the offense is still there way more than the defense at this point. So,
well, if you focus on what you need to focus,
when Joel is healthy, there's no way he's below VJ on the pecking order. Very possible.
Yeah.
That's just not who VJ has shown himself to be at this point.
Okay. And even if that, let's just say Joel's third on the pecking order, still, like, this is, look, if you get LeBron, I think this team is a title favorite in the East. I think
think you can credibly argue that Maxey should be third on the quote unquote pecking order.
I'm okay with that too.
Any one of those guys can be number one on the pecking order on any given night, which is the reason it's so appealing.
Yeah.
That's why you do it.
Or even LeBron or VJ can be at number one. That's what I'm saying.
All five of them, which is not something that has like ever happened recently in NBA history that I can think of. So that's like a cool idea. Does it work ultimately and win a championship? I can't say for sure, but.
Mm-hmm. And if Joel is out, you can play LeBron at the five. Is it ideal? No, but you can play LeBron at the five.
You have four legit top 40 players. MVJ who's coming up, you can sustain an injury or two and still have like guys to make things happen. So
yeah, like LeBron coming to the team would make like the hop hurt the center position not a dire. Now, obviously, to be fair, we still have one roster spot open. I'm assuming that's left for LeBron. And then you have three guys that are on partial or non-guaranteed deals. Those guys can be waived or moved, okay? I do not think that this is the final iteration. I'm sure we make a move at some point, either preseason or during the season, for probably a center.
Yeah, I agree. And look, the bench is still going to be a problem, no matter how we slice it. But it should be better off this year, at least offensively. Defensively, we'll see what happens. Dean Wade can do a lot. He can't do everything. But, yeah, I mean, LeBron, I'm less worried about bench depth if you just have five dudes like that. So, how often can all five be on the floor together? It's a very fair question. I think that is, again, part of the appeal with Jaylen Brown. Knock on wood, he's been very durable. In a way that Paul George just is not at this stage of his career. But yeah, it's a great concept. On paper, it's awesome. So I hope he comes here. It's a great fan base, LeBron.
Oh yeah.
We'd all love you very much.
Look, if you won us a championship, you'd be considered a god here. You'd probably get your jersey retired.
Yeah, look, if you want to be like appreciated and celebrated or whatever word I saw with the report today, there's nowhere other than Philly.
Frankly. Yeah, look, but, even if you get us to the Eastern Conference Finals, people are going to worship you. Okay, that's as simple as it. Philly I buy a jersey. I buy a LeBron James jersey if you came
of
here.
Of course, I would too.
Yeah,
Philly fans can be very harsh and demanding, but like we're the best in the world. As far as I'm concerned. All right, Lucas. Do the Sixers have a real chance here? Is this even going to happen?
I say if all things are even, and look, I get the nostalgia factor. I do want to note that Brian Windhorst said that Cleveland is not going to be a team from a credit. He said that from a credible source today. Whether or not that is to be believed, yet to be determined.
He didn't say Cleveland's out of the running.
What did he say? Because I thought he said something along.
He said that I saw like the aggregation going around, and he like very quickly got in the replies and said that's not what I was saying. So.
Okay.
He said that he had a source that was very determined and certain that it wasn't going to be Cleveland, but he was saying that in the context of saying that he's heard a lot of different things from a lot of different people, that there are sources who think it's Cleveland, sources who think it's not Cleveland. So basically, we just don't know.
This is why you're a full-time writer at FanSided. Yes. All right. So, anyway, look, I think that if we're looking at this from a basketball perspective and where LeBron can not have to shoulder the load, have a real chance of winning and play like point LeBron, which we know he loves to do, Philly makes the most sense. I would say Philly probably has out of the percentage of teams here and based off the Rich Paul, whiteboard, I'd say Philly probably has a good 35-40% chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I think is higher than anybody else, really. I don't think Minnesota's just because the market's not appealing there. Miami, been there, done that. Not the cleanest fit, in my opinion. Golden State, like you said, not really competing. Cleveland, yet again, not a clean fit.
Yeah, look, I think from a basketball and competitive standpoint, it would be Philly or Minnesota with a bullet. Those would be the two that he's choosing between.
Yeah.
Now, LeBron has almost never made a free agency decision based purely on basketball. Obviously, he's at a different stage of his career and maybe wants different things now, but I think the vibes out in the world right now are that it's Cleveland, Miami, and Philly are the top three. That seems to be where we're at.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume, just based on the fact that we know LeBron is LeBron and he cares about narrative and legacy, and it seems like he's going to be filming a documentary about his last year or two or whatever. I'm going to assume Philly's third on that pecking order, just to be realistic. Cleveland is his hometown team. It's Cleveland. Miami, he's been there, and there are connections there too. And apparently a great golf scene.
That's apparently important according to Rich Paul.
So I'm going to assume Philly's third on that list. I do think that the Sixers have made a very compelling case. And if he is really, truly trying to win a championship and play meaningful basketball in a way that appeals to him, like on the floor, Sixers have a very strong argument. I would not count it out right now, but I also don't want to. We've been used as leverage by LeBron in the past.
That's true.
I don't know what he would be leveraging for at this point. He's going to take a minimum contract with any of these teams, probably.
No, he doesn't have the same leverage that he used to.
I don't think this is like trying to squeeze the money out of anyone. If anything, he might be leveraging like trying players to get Cleveland and Miami to make a move and add other guys. But
I was about to say, out of all the like moves between us and those two other teams, we've made I get Giannis is the better player, but like in terms of like surprising, and honestly, like I don't think Giannis going to Miami in year one automatically equates to a championship. I think Brown coming to Philly is a closer equator to a championship than, because Miami had to give up everything. They had to give up their whole entire depth chart.
I mean, yeah, but like Philly's depth chart outside of the top four is not exactly.
Oh, Anthony Simons isn't bad, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that it moves the needle more. Like, I don't think Miami had any sort of hope before the Giannis trade.
No,
if Giannis is healthy, he's still Giannis. But I don't think we're having this conversation if Paul George is still a Sixer. Like,
no,
I
we do don't. Agree. No, Philly's not in this conversation if Paul George
is still a
Sixer.
The Brown trade is why this is a possibility in the first place.
A strong possibility.
Gansey was like an Ohio basketball guy, played against LeBron in high school. There's clearly a connection there. It could happen. I don't think it will. It probably won't. But it'd be cool. I'd like to see it. So what's your final prediction, Lucas? Are you picking the Sixers?
I'm picking the Sixers. You know what? I'm gonna be true to my fandom and pick the Sixers.
Okay. I'm going to say the Cavs, but I'd like to be proven wrong.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. All right, Lucas. All right.
Summer League.
Before we wrap up here, let's run through the Summer League opener real quick. Philly had a nice little win over Detroit in Vegas. 101-93 was your final score. We're going to highlight the four big performers, I guess. Yeah. Let's start with Filon. Number 22 overall pick, had 18 points on 8 of 19 shooting, dropped 7 assists, had some pretty sick highlights that have been making the rounds on Twitter. What were your impressions of Filon's debut?
Look, I mean, he looked like a good rookie guard. Obviously he went through a shooting slump at one point during the game, but he has arguably the best handles that I've seen in the summer league so far. Can score on multiple levels. He won 4 of 10 from three, so clearly can shoot the ball. 7 assists is probably the most important stat that I'm looking at here, though. We need somebody that can distribute. If LeBron James is not coming, Filon is arguably might arguably be the best playmaker on the team day one. Arguably, probably the Joel is probably still better, but like, you know what I mean, like best guard playmaker. Because as good as Maxey is, he's limited as a playmaker, so is VJ at this point. So
yeah.
I would say Filon. Yeah, look, the playmaking is probably what impressed me the most, because he's a willing passer. He doesn't just pass when he doesn't have anything. He passes to the open guy. That's what I like to see.
I agree. I'm really not concerned with like shooting percentages in summer league. He looked very good. I was very high on Filon pre-draft. I had him in my top 10. I think it's amazing that he fell to the Sixers. I think he's a very well-rounded player. Like, the handles and the self-creation, that stuff is what's going to, like, make the rounds on social media and whatnot. But before, like, as a freshman, he took on a really big load as a sophomore this year, and the defense kind of slipped. But he was a very committed and impactful defender as a freshman when he had a smaller role. So that is encouraging to me. He plays very hard on both ends, and yeah, he can score at the rim better than you'd think for a guy who's 176 pounds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He has improved massively as a shooter over the last year. The volume is up. He's taking pull-ups very comfortably. And like Maxey, VJ, these are guys who just play better off the ball, and Filon can help get them off the ball in those more guard-heavy lineups. So much as like you like the Simons signing, and I am fine with the Simons signing, that probably pushes Filon down the depth chart. But I think Filon has a much broader and maybe more helpful skill set than Simons if he hits this year like I think he can. So,
well, it all depends on if Nick Nurse wants to play a rookie guard.
Nurse cares about defense. Filon is going to be a better defender than Anthony Simons.
That's fair. We'll see.
I'm not going to rule it out.
Yeah, look, I mean, totally possible.
Jani Broom, Lucas.
Looked a lot more athletic.
Of Auburn. Had a nice poster there off of a Very, very cool setup from Filon. Finished with 19 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, 9 of 18 from the field in 27 minutes. Thoughts?
Didn't love the 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. Not great there, but look, this is what we were expecting year one. This did not happen year one. He did get injured towards the end of the year, so he wasn't really available. But look, if he continues to produce like this, he has a chance to compete. I'm not going to say he's going to win, but he'll actually be given a realistic chance to compete for backup center minutes. Whether or not he deserves it, I don't know. He did look more athletic. He did look more athletic, which was one of our big concerns, right? I'm not going to say he's a good athlete in the NBA, but he's a passable. He looked passable last night. Now, granted, and these guys are NBA-level athletes in Summer League. Let's be absolutely clear. They might not be NBA-level players, but they're NBA-level athletes for the most part. Yeah. Broom, look, Filon definitely made Broom look better. That's for sure. I need to see more. I just need to see more. I'm not giving up on him yet. I'm impressed. I'm not like buying stock, but I want to see more. Show me more.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm in a similar place. I do think Filon and Broom had a nice little chemistry going there, which is cool. You know, Auburn and Alabama guy on the same team. They played each other last year. They're familiar with each other, I'm sure. Yeah, I do want to like caution folks. If anyone out there is getting like super excited, which probably isn't happening, but Junai Broom is much older than most of the people at Summer League. He was one of the most decorated college stars of the past few years. He just has a lot of experience on most of these guys. And this is, like you said, there are good athletes on the floor in Summer League. It's nothing like a real NBA game. So I think Broom is probably at the point in his career where he can reliably be very good in Summer League and very good in the G League. Whether he can actually do it in the NBA, I'm still not convinced after what little we saw last year. So
yeah,
I don't think we should put too much stock into his Summer League performance, to be completely frank.
Need to see more.
Yeah, it's better than him like not looking good at all. So
yeah.
Let's talk about Dante Maddox Jr., Lucas.
Now, he played overseas last year, right? I think I heard that he played overseas last year.
So,
Look, him and Filon played pretty well together, combo guard. What is he, 6'2"? The guy can shoot. The guy can shoot. Going to be a great addition to the Bluecoats. Exhibit 10.
Yeah. That's probably how this ends up going. Look, smaller guards is not really what Philly needs at the moment. So I don't see much of a pathway for him being on the real roster. But looked good, fun player is what it is. I think more interesting as a guy who could be on a two-way contract, maybe.
Yeah.
Is Isaac Johnson out of Hawaii.
Big fish.
20 points, made 4 threes, was on a bit of a heater there in the first half. Forwards who can shoot tend to have value.
He's a center. He just can't rebound. What is he, 7'2", 7'1"? Get how tall he is. The guy averaged what, 13-5 last year with Hawaii. Not a great
14 and 6.
Okay.
Rounding up.
And he's like how tall?
He's 7 foot.
Okay, so he's a 7-footer. Look, if you can shoot threes as a 7-footer, there's a way for you to be in the NBA at some level. I think you're right. I think he's most likely that third two-way contract spot. He brings something that...
Is going to be the Sixers backup center by the end of the year?
I hope not, because the guy still looks like he's he has middle school coordination when he runs. Okay, let's be clear. Like he has a lot of refining to do.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he can actually be an NBA defender, to be completely honest. Unlike our
super refined and coordinated current backup centers who...
Look, I get it.
Don't make a ton of mistakes on defense or anything.
Look, I get it. I just, look, he's skin and bones. He runs a baby giraffe or something. I don't know. It's not pretty to look at. But look, the guy can shoot. And he has size. I mean, look, there's a spot in the NBA for you. I think if he continues to show off, even if he comes back down to the medium and shoots around maybe 35, 36% from three in the summer league at 7 foot, I think if you're Philly, it'd be wise to get him on a two-way as soon as possible. Because some other team will swoop in and try to get him.
Yeah, look, it's one game. We'll see where it goes from here, but I don't disagree. I'm very open to him being the third two-way guy. Like me and you both said, guys who are big and can shoot have a spot in the NBA normally. So he was very fun to watch. He's very animated and seems to be having a good time out there. Hawaii
big
was
fish.
Hawaii was a fun team last year. Kind of you know, didn't really do much against Arkansas in the tournament, but that's fine. I'm open to it. I had fun. I think it's worth a look. I think. So,
look, having another center on a two-way won't hurt.
He just gives you a different kind look. A different look from Okporie and Bona, who I think give maybe a too similar of a look.
And we don't even know what's going to happen with Broome.
Tyrese Maxey, these are guys who like to get downhill and get to the rim.
Yeah.
A guy who can pop out and hit a bunch of deep threes could have some real value. Now, again, will they stop anyone? Open-ended question, but
yeah,
I think it could be a fun offensive fit. So I'm very intrigued is what I'll say.
Just for reference, he is, hang on, what's his weight?
He's 225 is what he was listed at Hawaii.
Yeah, 225, 7 foot, 225, has a killer like 90 stash though, just gonna say that.
I do love a stash. I might have to go back to the stash for,
if he gets signed as a two-way guy, I think you'll have to.
I'll do that. I'll make that commitment right here, now.
Okay. So you heard it first, people. If Isaac Johnson gets signed as on a two-way contract, Chris has the mustache, and Chris cannot get rid of the mustache until Isaac Johnson hits the three for the Sixers.
I like the mustache. I don't even need to get rid of it.
But I'm just saying. I'm trying to give you now here.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Look. I'm open to it. I liked it. The vibes were pretty good last night. So let's
Have a question. I'm looking at his college stats here. Played at Oregon, didn't play that much. Okay, fine. He gets redshirted, transfers to Utah State, plays 15 minutes a game as a sophomore, goes down and starts almost every game, then goes down to 8 minutes a game as a junior. And only starts 12 games. I mean, the shooting stats, honestly, the stats aren't even like that big of an issue. Then it goes to Hawaii, averages 14, 6, one block. One block for a 7-footer is not great. Do they have advanced metrics? So probably not. They do.
The Bart Torvik.
Okay, so at Hawaii, he had a per 100 possessions, he had a defensive rating of 95.6. That's pretty good for college, I think, right? I don't know how to scale that on college levels, but look, he had a defensive win shares of 1.7 last year. So,
the block numbers really weren't bad. It was a 4.9 block percentage, which is like not terrible. It's not like great for a center or anything, but you know, played some power forward. He's a good rebounder. The rebounding very solid on both ends. I think the volume in the from three at his size and the fact that he was an 88% free throw shooter speaks very highly of his shooting gravity.
Well, apparently he's a really good offensive rebounder. In college, he led the conference last year in offensive rebounding. The rebounding
numbers are very good, under and over the hood. So he's a good player at Hawaii last year. Like I got around to a few Hawaii games. They weren't like top of my watch list, but
he's fun. I hope he's a two-way guy. I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
He's the big fish. If nothing else, the nickname helps.
Yeah. Like I'm very high on Duke Miles, who
did he play?
Played at Vanderbilt. He played 16 minutes. Didn't do a ton, but like, you know.
I get he's good defensively, but he's only 6 foot.
5 assists in 16 minutes is what it is. And that's the thing, though. They just have, like, with the Caleb Love and the Simon signing in drafting Filon, I don't know if Duke Miles really has a path on this team. Johnson, there is a positional appeal isn't there with Duke Miles. I would say Duke Miles is probably the best prospect on this team that doesn't have a contract right now.
I do want to say, I do like Drew's, it's not pronounced Sissy, but I forget, Sissi. He played for the Blue Coast last year.
Yeah.
Honestly, really good, just underweight. I think he's like 200 pounds as like a 6'11 guy, which isn't ideal. But like, look, he does everything you want to. He can rebound. I think he averaged last year for the Blue Coats like 8 rebounds, six points per game, or over a block per game. Look, I honestly am a fan of his. I hope that he gets more run than he did in game one. I think he only got like 3 minutes. But look, we'll see what happens there. But I honestly think I kind of like him. I know he's a little underweight, you know, the Nerlens Noel problem, but we'll see.
Yeah, I would say if I had to guess right now, Duke Miles and Isaac Johnson have the best chance of being two-way guys.
Yeah.
That could change. Neither of them even started in this game, but that's where my
they got to start Broom just to see what they got in him.
Yeah. Broom and Johnson probably aren't playing together much.
They did a little bit, but not a lot. Yeah.
All right, Lucas. Any around the NBA thoughts before we log off?
Be careful what you say on social media, kids, or Bam Adebayo will punch you in the face. Besides that, I mean, not surprised about the Donovan Mitchell extension. I don't think I really got much right now. The Kawhi Leonard thing, that's kind of interesting how that's kind of frozen.
I truly don't know why this has taken so long.
Because they hired an outside source and they're trying to milk them for all the money they can, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Billable hours.
Yeah.
Like, if Kawhi gets suspended or whatever, just get it over with.
Yeah.
The Raptors should do that trade still, if it's not like a full season suspension. All right. I don't have much to add. Shout out to Tyler Hero. Seems like he's having a great time with the Bucks.
Maybe that needs team is a nice be pack. So
bad next year. The Bucks are really, truly spectacularly awful. So shout out to them.
They don't even own their pick next year.
Even own their picks for like the next 3 years, and they have Nadement to look forward to, which we all know how enthusiastic I am about Nadement. I don't know how much we actually talked about Nadement on this podcast, but
we didn't do a lot.
At some point, I made clear how not enthused I am. One of the mock draft episodes, at least, I got my Nadement thoughts out. So, yeah, Bucks are in a really, really terrible spot. I feel truly, truly terrible for Milwaukee fans. Good luck with that.
Good luck.
The Heat stomped Milwaukee today in Summer League. So good for
them. And Bam did too. But that's a whole different story.
I'll just look. Nadement had 6 points in 17 minutes. Just noting that.
Chris Sinek guy got his first Summer League points. I know how much they love Chris Sinek. Celtics.
I actually haven't tuned into that game yet.
Oh, I have it on the side here. Celtics up 70-69. Yeah,
14-9. Yeah. Three blocks. He's balling out. All right.
Yeah. All right. Regret taking Phylon. Okay.
We won't. I don't think we will. All right. Mm-hmm. As always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixers Sense podcast. Like, subscribe, follow along. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter at Sixers Sense, where I am also available at Klein NBA. Lucas is at CoachJ_20. If you go to TikTok, we are at the Sixers Sense. And until next time, go Sixers. We'll be back in about a week, probably, with the LeBron celebration pod. So, talk to y'all soon.